For your name. So the incense has been lit. The prayers of the people have been raised. And the glory of the Lord is in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle. The priest just stood up. And as he looked at the curtain, black this screen, please. He saw the curtain. There were cherubim sewed into the curtain. It's the thing that separated the Most Holy from us. He has the annual pilgrimage, and this is for a first time, would have gone around to the right side of the tent, around the right side of the curtain to enter. He didn't enter in a common way. He went entered in a sanctified way. There is no Holy of Holies pouring blood on the mercy seat manual or people to instruct. It's a first time. And he's in that darkened area. And he looks down at the box. And only one person's supposed to touch that. God's feet and the high priest. All else would die. He looks at that box that's made out of acacia wood. A hardy wood, a stubborn wood, a wood that will just grow abundant everywhere, would suck up minerals and disease out of the ground, and it could live with that inside it. It's a hardy wood, the last hundreds of years, and he saw it covered in gold. And he saw the solid block of gold that's on top of it with cherubim, two cherubs facing one another, wings at the fore. And he knows what's inside. It's the hand-scribed tablets. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make any engraven images of anything of the air, land, or sea and bow down and worship them. For I desire a relationship with you, and you'll not put something before me. The priest would know that's scribed in there because it's written on his heart as well, to not use any of God's name for his own vanity. And that there was a day of worship. And those first four things on that tablet were how to please God or how to have violent disruption from Him by not pleasing Him. The next six were dealing with family members. Can you imagine going in that room for the first time? the first time ever. And you're the only one out of 2.5 million that has that presence with the Lord. That His feet are there, His glory is there. And He sees the hysterion, the mercy seat. The mercy seat. This mercy is knowing that all the sins that they've been sacrificing for are in this bowl of blood to be poured out over it. All of the sins of the 2.5 million, including His own. He's very well aware of what's before Him and the righteousness of God and the representation of depraved man. The awe of the presence of God is upon Him. The Ark of the Covenant, God's moral law written for us, is there. That box is there. This is the closest man will ever get to God this side of heaven. At this time, is right there. That box, those cherubim, and the cherubim, cherub is singular, bim is plural. Those angels were used in the Garden of Eden to keep Adam and Eve from getting back into the presence of the Lord. They've shown up many a time through Bible, and many people will try to describe and say what they are. The Bible is silent. Will remain that way as well. That priest, you think he's a little unnerved right now? How would you be feeling if you walked in for the very first time and the presence of God was there? We know that Moses had to have a covering over his face because of the glory of God was so evident on him. There is no holy of holy for dummies book written. There's nothing for... How do you do this? You listen to the Lord. You look at that mercy seat, and all that's in you comes to a rock hard stop. Because you know that mercy abounds there. And then seat, though it's His footstool, He stands on that. His feet rest there. That seat, you think of conversation, the dialogue that He's going to have with you there. But the dialogue is about mercy. Though you know trembling nature of what blood in your hand represents. The dying of an animal for the sins of man. Never to breathe again. Never to offspring again. The hilasterion means mercy seat. It also means expiation. Many of you would understand it as possibly atonement, but that's only one part of the propitiation overtone of what's happening right here when we're with them. We have spoken over the weeks, now months, of what all the components are in the tabernacle, the portable dwelling of Lord with His people, of which we have in our body, singular. The culmination of which is this time with Him there. This time with Him here. You see, in the propitiation, there is an offense. There is a criminal and there is a victim. In propitiation, there is a matter that needs to be adjudicated. So we have an offense. We have adjudication. Something legal has to happen. Somebody has to pay. Something has to pay. And when that payment has happened, then there is an amendment. It resolves the matter. And it's put to bed. And then the last piece is yet another A. As if it never happened. That's what's going on here. Is the appeasement. The full-on relationship restored. As if our sins, your sin, my sin, has never even marked our Father. The only markings on our risen Savior that was left from a mutilated body was the hole in His wrists and His heel and His side. That He could show proof of what actually happened. We never hear about the scar tissue, the mangled meat that was on the cross gasping for last air up into the ninth hour. Mankind is coming into the presence of the Lord. Do you feel the weight? Do you feel the weight in silence? This is your life constantly. As a man or a woman of faith, God is dwelling with them. God is dwelling with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. And what was scribed on those stones, on this placard of wood, is to be scribed on our hearts. Period. With nothing to disrupt it. He's got this here before us to remind us that He is living with us. The Ark of the Covenant, of its own regard, has no power to it without God's authority and power. None that would have stolen it would have ever had any strength from it. Because when it's stolen, it's no longer God's in the sense of that power. That time of the high priest going in there has to be marked and remembered. Many have not had any kind of pilgrimage unto the Lord. Many in this room are within earshot. Even at this time, it may be secondary thought. But I am here to tell you that the Lord demands of us this time with Him. Are you hearing that? He demands the solitude and silence and the holiness that set aside but for Him in times that are needed for you and Him so that you can have decrees given to Him and not be interrupted by the illumination of screen and the audio of earbuds and noise of the world. He's not having it. Are we tracking? This is a sobering thing, taking every thought captive. It's a sobering thing living your life pulse by pulse, beat by beat of your heart, breath by breath, and from one eye blinking to the next, living for Jesus Christ. There's tension in taking every thought captive. There's absolute tension in that. And you want to know something? It's a worthy tension. Because the strength of taking those thoughts captive and yielding them over to Him, it gets easier. It gets regular. You understand what that Holy of Holies meant. Look, hey, there in 2 Samuel 6, an oxen was carrying the ark, and an oxen's knee buckled, and Uzzah reached up to stabilize the Holy of Holies. Do you remember what happened to him? What does he have anything to do with buttressing something of God? He died. God's fury went out on him. Do you understand that? God's not this punitive thing, entity in a sense. He has a command and a demand on how things are to be done in our lives. Period. Eyes here. Period. What was that Ark of the Covenant, the box of the agreement, even doing on an ox carried trailer? It had poles that were required to be on men's shoulders, and that was the only way to carry it. Are you hearing the Via Dolorosa? Because there was only one way to the cross, and that was carried on Christ's shoulder. Just because the oxen fell doesn't mean that the ark fell. Uzzah had no business touching the ark. I have loved going through this tabernacle. I don't think I've ever seen a clearer picture of Jesus Christ save the cross. And he expressed it all at the foot of the mountain, telling Moses, Aaron, how to do what he wants done. And we can look back and see his work. For you that haven't seen the series on this, then go back to Facebook and watch it. Go back, 9 or 10 weeks now? We've been a couple of months here. Somebody in first service, when they concluded this day, broke down in tears in their heart and to their face, because the intimacy of the understanding has been explained and brought to forethought. But the cool thing is, it never has to end. That time of coming before the Lord, who is now our mercy seat, is now our hilasterion, Jesus is. We have him all the time as a block between what's going on in that Ten Commandments, praised unto God, as a encouragement through that, if you will, but those things when we come against God. He's that pure propitiation. See the gold in the bronze and silver and gold is about God's holiness. It's the metal of holiness. It's the metal of godliness. And it's wrapped around that acacia wood. Our lives are like that acacia wood. We're hard. We're stubborn. We grow in areas we have no business growing in, and we'll take whatever the soil yields, good for the plant or not, good for our bodies or not. And yet God takes that gold and covers around it, that whatever he sees, yeah, whatever is seen, that's your lives. That's your lives. Your lives have been this nature of arrogance, hardness, and the above. There has been sin stain in your life. And you know something? He covers that with his holiness. He covers that with his godliness. I am encouraging you, as you have the pictures of this tabernacle, in your mind from times before. And when you look at them, maybe you Google an image, is that it mortifies you. The word mortify is to put to death. Him being with us, him even taking the time, he didn't have to. He chose to. And he chose to speak of his son thousands of years before he was live and walking around the earth. He's very particular about how he wants things done. He wants us to praise his name, to put the acclaim of his name in our hearts and in our minds. We're to meditate on the excellencies of his word. In Psalm 119, there's some verses in 1 through 18. And I'm going to read a verse. And after each verse, you're going to repeat verse 11 of that psalm. So if we can screen Psalm 119:1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And the next screen, your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Verse 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. Your response, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments, everybody. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth, my heart, that I might not sin against you. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Open my eyes that I may see the wondrous things of your law. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, having the word written on your heart, having the word acclaimed and exclaimed and promoted, starts to knock away at the other stuff that gets in the way. The number one thing about this Ark of the Covenant is forgiveness. Do you remember a story I told you guys about a woman who for 52 years did not talk to her sister? And then they were brought back together just a few years ago. They didn't speak for 52 years, whatever times 365 days, whatever that's, 21,000 days. Didn't speak. And that trip that they were brought back together, they held each other in disregard. And that trip was made, and they spent 4 days together. And God had taken those 52 years and made them as if they were one day, because their hearts had been sown to the Lord, thus each other. And they became sisters for a first time, true sisters, talking to each other on the phone, pen palling. You guys know what a pen pal is, right? Take a piece of ink and write it on paper and put a stamp on it, lick an envelope and send it in the mail. And 2 or 3 days later, they receive it, and they can pore over that letter countless times. You can't do that with a text or an email. It doesn't carry the same constructs in writing. And then a letter is written and sent back. And then when you receive it, you're constantly sending a letter to one another, pen palling. Thank God for those 4 days. Thank God for those phone calls. Thank God for those letters, because those days are your days with the Lord. Those calls are your time of prayer with the Lord in the midst of the mercy seat. And those letters written is the letters that He has written to you, saying, I love you. Fill in your name. Because just last week, the woman's sister in Kansas, who happens to be my aunt, died. Cancer, to live no more. I miss her. I have not cried in years over a funeral. I don't know why God has had my heart this way, and it is what it is. It doesn't make me any less compassionate. I've had my private times of tears and a few times of tears, but not all out wailing crying. And God gave me that as a gift, because we talked and we pen palled. And I've enjoyed my dialogue with her, because her language, though she's a common person, has great stylings. And I find that rare in the conversation with my contemporaries. I love that time with her. I have loved that time with her. I have loved my time with Jesus the Christ. I have loved my time with the Holy Spirit. I have loved my time in the Word of God. And I have not quite as much love, but understand it, excuse me, in the chastening that He brings. He allows things that I enjoy to fade, namely my football team. Just these things that I put to the forefront that I want to cheer on, and it brings me great feeling inside, He lets that die away. And you know what I find myself doing? Gaining greater interest in Him. I have no idea what this road trip is going to be like. When my mother, as I called her, and my mother has been a very strong woman, I have not known my mother to cry often at all. Upon my delivering the news, wept and wept and wept and wept over a sister she had for this much time. and eternity to come. And that speaking of eternity to come was the only thing that calmed her. Thank you, Holy Spirit. She says, I'm the last one. There's no others but me. My mother, my father, my sister is gone. I've wasted my years with my sister. I'm it. No, you're not alone, Mom. You have a family of Christ that loves you. I understand what you're saying. But we have a family that is so rich. Look around the room. And this is what the Lord has given you as blessing. Your friends that are traveling this weekend, and the friends that are here, we have great depth. And that type of crying, that type of weeping, is how we feel for those that are lost, that have chosen Christ but chosen not to walk in His ways. We don't cry and not engage in their lives. We cry, we tear up, we go to impassioned pleas on their behalf to the Lord, that they come to know Him and turn in fullness unto Him. Do you understand something very clearly? That your life in Christ has no regard for your personal motivation. Not one down to the cell level of your 3 trillion cells that are vibrantly pushing through your body at 3-second cycles. Not one cell is to regard self in the kingdom of God. That there is nothing that has moorings on you at all, ever. No popularity, no likes on Instagram. Nothing. But laying bare before a holy Father who loves us to degrees we can't even get our mind at the starting line of understanding wrapped around. This time in the Holy of Holies demands shah. It means silence. Demands quiet. It demands stillness of heart consistently. And not just for 45 minutes this day. How can I put my mind on the Lord by putting your mind on the Lord? You see, this idea of the mercy seat is huge. When we come running to the mercy seat, when we come plowing, listen, when we come plowing out to the mercy seat, we're not walking up and casually coming up and, oh, hang on a minute, I'm going to check my score. We come running to the mercy seat not because we're afraid. We come running because He has mercy at His seat to forgive us everything. He died for our sins, but guess what? He's still actively a propitiation for that sin and the sins that are happening this second and now this set of seconds repetitively. This depth is something I want only. You're a pastor, you should want that. No, dude, my name is Dave Pierce. And I want the presence of the Lord as often as this body can handle it. And as many times throughout the day that is requisite for me getting my eyes on Him and not one iota, jot or tittle of my own construct. Are we tracking? We run to Him. Let Him chasten you. Do you understand? He will not chasten those that He does not love. There are some of you right now There's some of you in this room online right now that are monkeying around with the Lord. You're playing games with Him. You're not found doing His work. And you need to repent of that. You bring it to the mercy seat. There's some of you that have, and online, write in. We'll get, message us. Get us through 720-515. Pray, text us. We'll connect with you after service. That have never given your life genuinely over to the Lord. Mercy seat. You run to the mercy seat. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You go directly to Him. There's some of you that have given your life over to Jesus Christ, and you never did put the key in the ignition. You bring it to the mercy seat. You come down. There are you right now that are dabbling in sin that is so perplexing. And He's ready to give mercy to that and bring you back home and to disciple you. We have TN7 tonight at 7 o'clock to disciple you in His ways, in a loving and fun and laughter way, and some very serious times ways. This life is very much real. Our Father is very much on the throne, and He has not moved. You have. In a minute, you're going to get an opportunity to come down and sit at one of these front rows here to receive prayer. Take it. This day, take it. See, He wants heaven on earth played out in us, or He would not have given that to us in His prayer that we call the Our Father. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants us to live heavenly lives now with the duality of sin inherent in our bodies understood. Paul, thank you for Romans 6, 7, and then finality of 8. Why does He want us to stop sinning? Because it puts barriers between us and Him. Such barriers. If we say we're without sin, we call God a liar and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:8 and 9. This time of holiness, this time of set aside, this antithesis of the distractive world is for you now. That you can be a part to Him again and not be disconnected. We have one last video song that we're going to run here in a second. I'm going to be down here praying. There'll probably be another somebody up here praying too. Just come down and sit. There's nothing going on in your life that I haven't heard of. I've talked with people trapped in similar gender relationships and bestiality, bisexuality, hatefulness, killed a baby. Men killed a baby, women. I mean, there's just nothing's new. The only difference is you. Nobody here judges anything of your past. I don't care about that stuff. We got eyes on the front of our face. We're looking forward. And we're looking forward to Him.
place the power of sin on my own. I did not know of a place I could go where I could find a way to
Changed everything. Thank you for this time.